Are you a follower of Jesus Christ who's done being quiet? Are you ready to tell the world whose you are, totally, fearlessly, and unapologetically? And are you ready to smash that imaginary wall that supposedly divides your career and faith life? Welcome to the C-Suite for Christ podcast, where we talk about living as a disciple of Christ in the world of work. Before we get to the content we have in store for you today, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Christians across the U.S. are rising up and banking with their values, and they are banking with Christian Community Credit Union. A trusted institution for over 65 years, Christian Community Credit Union is America's leader in biblical banking solutions. With low-cost auto loans, mortgages, personal loans, as well as products to help grow your money that include high-interest checking, savings, CDs, and so much more. The money you entrust with Christian Community Credit Union enables them to provide affordable financing to help churches and ministries grow. And with their new Cash Rewards Visa card, earn cash back while supporting Christian charities. It's time to bank with your values. Join Christian Community Credit Union today. Learn more at mycccu.com/C-Suite. That's mycccu.com/C-Suite. Membership eligibility required.
Join other Christian executives in running your business based on Christian values. To learn more, visit thenehgroups.com.
Well, thanks for joining us here today for this episode of the C-Suite for Christ podcast. Boy, howdy, it's a blessing to have you in the saddle with me. I am Paul M. Neuberger, the founder of the C-Suite for Christ ministry, and really appreciate you carving out a little bit of time to chat with us here today. I certainly hope and pray this message finds you in good spirits, but if it doesn't for whatever reason, just know there's nothing wrong with you. Know that you're not alone. You know, it's kind of one of those big misconceptions out there that a number of non-Christians kind of believe, God, these Christians act like they have it all together. What, once you become a Christian, you have no pain, no worry? What, is that what it's all about? I think we know, boy, that is certainly not the case. In fact, if anything else, I think being a Christian can almost increase that stress because you're reminded that this is a broken world, because we live in a society that is so anti-God. It's almost like, you know, when I say, don't think about pink elephants, what do you think about? You start thinking about pink elephants. And when you're constantly reminded that this is not your home, when you're constantly reminded that sin is everywhere, when you're constantly reminded that there's a ton of evil in the world today, when you're constantly reminded that we need to cover the world in Christ and we need to push back against secular society, that actually leads to a lot of stress. So if you're in a season right now where you seem to be in a dark valley, if you're in a season right now where there's just not a lot of joy and happiness, if you're in a season right now where it just feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, again, there's nothing wrong with you. We all go through that. So what I would like to encourage you to do is prayerfully consider joining the C-Suite for Christ ministry. I'm glad you listen to the podcast. I'm glad you follow us on social media. I'm glad that you support the ministry in the ways that you do, but we're so much more than just this show. I mean, we're a collection of nearly 3,000 Christian business executives from all over the world that come together on a regular basis to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to disciple each other. Wouldn't it be pretty sweet to get together with people that have walked in your shoes, that believe what you believe, that love Jesus just as much as you do? And again, there's no strings attached. We're not a networking group per se. We're not trying to drum up business for one another per se. Instead, the reason why we exist is just to make life a little easier, to help you carry that cross, to be there to support you, to allow you to be your true, authentic self. So If today's episode finds you in a dark valley, if today's episode finds you in a bit of a rough season, don't go through it alone. Don't try to solve it on your own. Let other people fill your cup on an ongoing regular basis. So to learn more, go to our website, csuiteforchrist.com. It'd be a blessing to cover the world in Christ with you. So if I were to ask you to, you know, compile a list of some of the worst bosses you've ever had, what would that list look like? How long would that list be? If you're in the rare minority where you say, dude, I've never had a bad boss, we got to talk because I don't know how you go through life without encountering this once in a while. If you're maybe you've been self-employed for a long time and you're your own boss, maybe you're in a season of life where, again, you just have somebody who's treated you well, who's respected you, who's taken good care of you, who listens to your advice. If so, awesome. I'm happy for you. That is fantastic. And I'm insanely jealous because my list of crappy bosses is longer than I'd like to admit. And I don't know why. I was thinking about some of these folks the other day. I don't know. Sometimes you just get a little sentimental. Maybe you're updating your resume or you look on a LinkedIn profile or somebody mentions somebody's name and it just brings back these flashbacks. Now, granted, I have had some pretty good bosses. Not everybody is in that bad category, but there were two in particular. Now, I'm not going to name names. This is a popular program and I don't want it to, you know, necessarily get back to somebody that this was, you know, being said on a program like this. But I can tell you what one of the individuals that I had, just kind of describing him, this guy was as close to a narcissist as anything I've ever experienced. It was all about him. Now, one of the things that they call this from time to time is like a Napoleon complex. You know, if a guy's or a woman possibly, but I know for men for sure, like if a guy is short in stature or diminutive, he almost kind of feels the need to let you know that he exists because he feels self-conscious about how he looks. This guy was pretty tiny. So I don't know if that's what it was. But again, very narcissistic, all about him, grabbed the spotlight on a pretty regular basis. And I remember shortly, I wouldn't say shortly, because I wasn't with this organization a whole ton. But like any job, like any organization, there's always that honeymoon period. We had that. We enjoyed that. But then his true color started to really kind of come out. And I remember one of the issues that I had with this guy is, again, call it narcissist, whatever, but this guy was a bit of a glory hog. I've served bosses, leaders that are very humble. Like even if it was the boss's idea and somebody says, man, that was a great idea, this boss is usually saying, oh, I couldn't have done it without my team. And then you almost kind of feel, no, dude, that was your idea. Take credit for it. This guy, the exact opposite. Now, I'm not here to toot my own horn, okay? I am far from perfect. I'm the most sinful, busted, broken, horrible, disgusting sinner I've ever met. And I fail every day. I drop the ball every day. I don't achieve things that I aspire to achieve every single day. But I'm a hard worker. I have a track record of a lot of success. I think I'm fairly innovative. I love it when people tell me something can't be done because that's when I do it, and I do it bigger than anybody ever expected. And like I said, I'm passionate about a lot of things, including leadership and fundraising and faith and all those other kind of things. And I was good in this role with this organization. I would raise a lot of money. I would come up with an innovative program. I would, you know, build bridges or networks with potential donors and start to rub elbows with certain foundations and organizations that we couldn't have gotten in just a little while ago, which would lead to good things. And when that got back to the board, when it was announced publicly, when other people started to notice, wow, there's some good things happening here, this guy was the first to take credit. I didn't get mentioned a lot in the board reports. My name wasn't brought up to the faculty and staff. My name wasn't shared in the circles of influential power brokers to give credit where credit's due. Now, The argument could be, Paul, you're a team player. Take one for the team. Paul, you're working for a cause greater than yourself. Just be happy that you're moving the mission of the organization forward. Yes, to some degree, that was certainly true. But resentment starts to build up. This guy's getting all the credit for the work that I do. This guy's getting all the love. This guy is being hailed as the greatest organization leader in the modern era when it's me and my office and some of the other top executives that are making this person look good. It wasn't just me that felt this way. The other department heads, the other vice presidents were feeling slighted just as much as I was. And I'll tell you, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'll tell you what that started to do to me. I stopped, and I'm embarrassed to admit this. I don't mind telling you. I'm embarrassed to admit this. I stopped giving 100% effort. I stopped racking my brain day and night to come up with an innovative program or an innovative solution. I stopped caring so much. My first thought to you, or the first thing I want to say, that is not a good reaction. I don't condone that. I was still getting paid a decent salary, yet I was checking out. I was still in charge of helping move that organizational mission forward, but I wasn't caring as much. I still had a ton of responsibility. The students were depending on me. The alumni were depending on me. The faculty and staff were depending on me, but I started giving lackluster effort. I am not condoning that. I regret that. That was a poor decision, but I'm human. I'm busted. I'm broken. I'm sinful. That's how I reacted. And my reason was simple. I didn't want to keep making this guy look good. Again, you can't judge a person. I don't know what his heart was. So I don't want to say, he was riding my coattails and the other leaders and he wasn't working hard. I mean, again, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. He showed up to work. He ran meetings. He was involved in the community. So I know he was still trying to some degree. But it just kind of sucks when you're doing all the work and you're not being acknowledged. You're doing all the work and you're not getting promotions or raises. You're doing all the work and you're not even getting an attaboy or a pat on the back. So I started checking out because I did not want my boss to get the credit. I did not want to continue to have him get the glory, not me. And it was shortly thereafter, probably a couple of months, when I first started to mentally check out that I eventually left that organization. And I wasn't the only one. I mean, there was a ton of turnover around that time. And then eventually he was asked by the board to step down. I think, again, what is done in the dark is brought to the light eventually. And you can't be in such a position of prominent power and hide your true self for long. But that's just one example. I got one more. I mean, again, that was when I was a little bit more of an established adult. I had a job when I was in high school, one of the very first jobs that I ever had. It wasn't glamorous, to say the least. Not too many kids that are in high school, you know, whatever you are, 13, 14, 15. Not a lot of glamorous jobs when you're a young person like that. But I was a dishwasher for a banquet hall. That was actually kind of a cool job. Like I said, first job I ever had, taught me a lot about responsibility, exposed me to a lot of new things. In addition to just washing dishes, I also, you know, would bus tables. It gave me some interaction with some of the customers, had a chance to earn some tips, which again, when you're 14, 15, you know, $30, $50 a day, that's a lot of money. And then, you know, there would be weddings over the weekends, Saturdays primarily, and you'd have 1,000 guests for the wedding. You cook for 1,000 people. Inevitably, there's going to be food left over. Like, well, man, I made 6 vats of mashed potatoes. They only ate 4. Well, we got to take home the rest of the food. That's pretty sweet. Again, the things that you value when you're 13 or 14 are a lot different than when you're 41, like I am right now. So, you know, I'm not going to work for mashed potatoes today. But back then, heck yeah, $50 in cash and mashed potatoes. That's all I needed. That was pretty sweet. But again, one of the things, when I was first brought on, the guy that hired me, I was there for like 3 years. I think I started when I was like 13 or 14, and I worked up until I was about 16 or 17. The guy that hired me was fantastic. Loved him. That's part of the reason why I went there. My dad went with me in the job interview because I'd never done that before. He wanted to make sure that I knew where I was supposed to go and everything else. And even my dad thought, this is a good dude. But about a year into my work there, the owner of this banquet facility sold it to this conglomerate, and these people came in. Again, there's nothing, I'm not being xenophobic or racist or whatever you want to call it. The new owners were Greek, and they had one of those names with like 10,000 syllables and all these O's and U's and everything else. The problem was I couldn't understand them. Like they were just like about as hardcore Greek as you can find. Their accent was so incredibly thick. And they brought in this new general manager. And this new general manager was like a boot camp instructor. I mean, think about any of those military movies that you watch, like SEAL Team 6, and you watch those individuals going through that initiation process. You know, if you're being squirted with the hose or sleep deprived and everything else, they say, there's the bell right over there. You want to go home, ring the bell, get out of here, and everybody else is going to continue on. It's like she was trying to get us to ring the frickin' bell every single day. Nothing was ever good enough. And, you know, this was one of my first exposure to somebody that just yelled a lot. You know, my parents weren't perfect, but they didn't yell a lot. I was in school up until that point my entire life. I didn't have teachers that yelled a lot. This was my first job. I was in sports, and sometimes coaches yell, but, you know, you kind of expect that on the field of battle or the basketball court or whatever else. But to be yelled at constantly at work, that was different. Gosh, it's like she was the most miserable person in the history of the world. You put the dishes through the dishwasher. There's a spot on it. You thought that Hiroshima or Nagasaki just happened. Just apocalyptic. She went off on that. You know, one of the things we had to do for the inspectors that would come by from time to time, and banquet halls and restaurants are held to a high standard in that regard. When the fish fry was done, when the wedding was done, before we could go home, we got to clean. So you're mopping the floor, and you're sweeping, and you're cleaning the countertops. Well, one of the things that she would do is she'd have this really long stick, and she'd come in early the next morning, and she'd stick that long stick underneath like the air fryer or the oven, and she'd just move things around. And oh, look, there's a potato. There's one of those little red potatoes, or there's a celery stem. We come in the next day. Oh my gosh. Heaven forbid a celery stem is left underneath the deep fryer. She threatened to fire us. She'd never, ever said anything good. One of the things that she would say all the time, how hard is it to be a dishwasher? How hard is your job really? And when I look back on that, that's like one of the most hurtful things she ever could have said. And I'm going to go on a quick tangent here, because here's what I want you to know. There's value in hard work. There's value in any work. Now, I'm talking about legal, moral, ethical work. I'm not talking about prostitution or stuff like that, okay? Because that's an entirely different category. I don't think that's glorious. I don't think there's value in that. But I hate the way some workers are treated. You know, you go to Starbucks or something, somebody's giving you your latte. It's like, oh, that person's beneath me, or the worker at McDonald's, that person is beneath me, or somebody at the drive-thru, that person is beneath me. No way. No way. Not when the workforce participation rate is 62%. Not when people are there. There's some individuals that have this entitlement mentality. I don't need to work. The government's going to take care of me. I'm going to lie about this disability. I could work, but no, I'd rather just sit home on my lazy butt and collect a paycheck. There is always value in work, whether you're a toll booth attendant, whether you're a garbage man, or whether you're president of the United States. If you're using your God-given talent to bring glory and honor to him, to put in an honest day's work, to provide for your family so other people like me, like you, don't have to provide for other people, God bless you. But that's what she said. She'd say that all the time. How hard is it to wash dishes? How hard is your job really? And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I would find myself doing the same exact thing that I referenced earlier. Why should I go above and beyond? She's just going to yell at me anyway. Why should I put in more hours? She's just going to yell at me anyway. Why should I try to be proactive? She's just going to yell at me anyway. Why should I give my very best? Because whether I give 80% or 100%, she's just going to yell at me anyway. Again, I'm not proud of this. I have a little bit more of an excuse here than I did in the last example, because that most recent example that I gave you, the one beforehand, I was an adult. I should have known better as an adult. Here, I'm a young teenager. Maybe we'll call this naivete, but again, the same thing. I started to check out. I almost, and again, this is hard to believe for a guy like me, especially at the time, a pretty soft-spoken, get-along person. I started to push back a little bit. I started to snap back a little bit because I just had it, which again is not becoming of a Christian, but again, human nature, I suppose. And eventually I left there and I got a different job. But when I think of bad bosses, when I think of bad situations, those are two that really jump out to me. And there's some common themes there. One, both bad bosses. Two, both of those bosses treated me terribly, not just me, but other people associated with the organization. But the third commonality is I started to check out. I started to push back. I stopped giving my best because I was serving people that didn't appreciate me. Here's one thing that I've come to realize in the years since. I don't serve people. I serve God. And part of the reason I'm so disgusted with myself, and now you're probably thinking, Paul, you're being a little too hard on yourself. It is what it is. It's not like it was all that bad. I disagree. We're never going to be perfect. God does not expect us to be perfect. We live in a fallen world. We are always going to sin as much as we try to avoid it. That doesn't excuse sin. That doesn't condone sin. But it is going to happen from time to time. But to whom much is given, much is expected. And I'm embarrassed by the way that I started to react in those situations, because when I was that dishwasher, I did not serve those Greek gentlemen. I did not serve that really angry general manager. I served God. And when I started to check out, when I started to push back, when I stopped giving my best, I insulted my true boss, which was God. When I worked at this educational institution as the fundraiser, same thing. When I was working for this narcissist, and I didn't want him to get the credit anymore. Again, I started to check out. I started to pull back. I stopped using the talents and abilities that God so generously gave me because I didn't want this individual to get the credit anymore. I was not serving him. I was serving God. And by me not giving my best, I insulted, I hurt, I disappointed God. My favorite thing of the C-Suite for Christ ministry is we do not put stock in the human word. Instead, we put stock in the holy word. We do events all the time. We do monthly gatherings. We've got a variety of ministry options. In all of those, people talk. We bring in a lot of speakers. We've got 130 people or so at the timing of this podcast that are in the C-Suite for Christ Speakers Bureau. Some of the finest speakers on the planet today. We just recently had Tim Tebow come in for the 2024 Covering the World in Christ celebration. We bring in a lot of people to speak to you. We want you to learn from a lot of people. But what we don't want is for you to believe it or do it just because a human said it. You're not supposed to put your trust in humans. You're supposed to put your trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, we don't put our stock in the human word. Don't just do it because Neuberger's saying it. Neuberger sucks at the end of the day. Do it because God says it. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, this is what it says. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Now, the hair on the back of your neck might have stood up when you heard the word slave. Again, this is written way back in the day, and we're not talking about enslaving other people. So don't be all really offended by this or whatever else. If you're offended by it, whatever. But I'm just trying to put that disclaimer out there here. You know, we're not necessarily promoting slavery. But the big takeaway on this, again, is we toil for human masters. Just about every single one of us has a boss. If you've got a boss, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you got a board of directors. Maybe you got shareholders. Maybe you got a variety of stakeholders. To some degree, your clients are your bosses because they're paying your bills. Now, what this is not saying is this isn't saying ignore those individuals or don't listen to those individuals. You certainly need to do that. But at the end of the day, we must understand that we serve God. God is our master. God is our boss. God is the ultimate source of accountability for us, not anything in the human realm. And I think this is important to remember for a couple of reasons. One, if you find yourself in a situation like the two situations that I presented you with here earlier, you cannot stop giving your best. You cannot check out. You cannot go, why am I breaking my back for this person who doesn't appreciate me? You are not breaking your back for that person. You are breaking your back for God. Forget that other person. That person is just the middleman. It sucks if they make your life difficult. I get it. You should always stand up for yourself. If there's a way to report inappropriate behavior, you should do it. If there's a way to seek conflict resolution, you should explore that option. Maybe even find a new job if it's getting to the point where it's intolerable or not bearable. But what you cannot do is you cannot stop giving your best. You cannot check out because you are serving God. And it's God that is impacted, God that is hurt, God that is disappointed, God that is dissatisfied with anything other than your best, because that's what we're called to do. These talents and abilities you have, you didn't earn those. You didn't deserve those. You don't have them based on anything that you've done in your life. That's not to dismiss the night classes that you took. That's not to dismiss the calculated risks that you implemented. That's not to dismiss the great ideas that you had. But if you take an inventory of the things you're exceptional at, the things that have always just kind of come easy and natural to you, those were given to you by God. We need to surrender those talents to Him. I don't even know you necessarily, but I could already tell you, you're a more talented person than I am. I am not talented. There are really two things that I think I'm fairly good at. One is public speaking, kind of like what I'm doing now. And then number two is creating a large social media following, call it marketing. There's a lot of things I'm terrible at. Those are two things that I'm halfway decent at. Several years ago, I made the proactive decision to say, God, I'm surrendering these talents back to you. You gave them to me. You generously bestowed them to me. I'm giving them back. That doesn't mean I'm not using them. That doesn't mean I don't want this anymore. It just means when I use this talent, I want to use it for your glory. So accordingly, I speak on faith topics. Accordingly, I share the good news on social media and otherwise as often as I possibly can. I use social media to share the gospel. What talents do you recognize that God gave you? Because He gave you a bunch of them. We need to surrender those to Him. That means even if we have a terrible human boss, that means even if we have somebody in our life that we don't like a whole lot, we can't stop using those talents. We can't stop using those abilities just because there's friction between us and the person that we're supposed to be working with or working for or working alongside. The other thing is, too, when we use those talents for His glory, other people take notice of that. It's not so much our words that are going to allow us to cover the world in Christ. It's our actions. Because there's a lot of do as I say, don't do as I do people out there. And I think those Christian hypocrites give our faith a bad name. That guy talks a good game. That guy goes to church. That guy sends his kids to Christian schools. But look at the way he treats his wife. Look at how he cheats on his taxes. Look at how he lies just to move up the career ladder. Boy, if Christianity is full of people like that, I don't want any part of it. But what if we can use those God-given talents to always show up, to always work hard, to always follow the Ten Commandments, to always give glory and honor to him, to always start conversations about Christ, to let people see, man, what does that guy have? Boy, he doesn't make a lot of money, but he's a happy-go-lucky person. Man, I know he's just had some, he just lost a couple members of his family, but he's still showing up. He's still a person of integrity. He's still here to serve others. Man, what is it about the Christian faith that keeps him going? I don't know, but I want to learn a little bit more about that. Our life is service. That's what it is. We're called to serve one another. We're called to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. But more often than not, we forget, I think, that the primary entity, the primary individual that we are called to serve is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we push back against a boss, when we check out of a situation because we don't like the person we're working for, when we give less than 100% effort, you're not hurting the boss, you're hurting God. Because you're leaving unfulfilled potential on the table, because there's lives that you need to touch. Because he gave you this amazing, awesome, unbelievable gift that is designed to give you a high quality of life, yet you're not using it. And this is, to me, one of the biggest disappointments about this entitlement society. These individuals that feel they're entitled to a paycheck, that feel we need to pay for their daily existence. Now, I'm not to say that there's not certain situations where this applies. If you're truly disabled and can't work, yes, makes sense. If you lose your job through no fault of your own and you need a short-term safety net, yeah, absolutely. Unemployment insurance is fantastic. But to live off COVID relief funds for 4 years, to get extended unemployment benefits because you failed drug tests or you're too lazy to look for jobs, no, that I do not accept. That I will never accept. And nor do I believe God will accept that, because those people have been given talents. Those people have been given opportunities. What talents are going non-utilized? What lives are not being touched because some of these people just don't get off the couch? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 commands us to give our best, because we are not working for earthly masters. We are not working for our earthly bosses. We are not working for our earthly stakeholders. We ultimately are working for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that from this very moment, again, you're not perfect. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall down. You're going to find yourself in a valley once in a while. But readjust your perspective so that whatever is in front of you, whether you're doing a PowerPoint presentation to the board of directors, whether you're leading a training at your office, whether you're picking up your children from school, whether you're scrubbing the toilets in your house, you serve God. And make sure that you give your very best for him. One individual who has built his life around service is Dr. Rich Ministo. He is the Vice President of Advancement at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Not only does he live a life of service, but Wisconsin Lutheran College has one of the coolest events I've ever been a part of. It's called their Divine Servant Award. They've had some amazing people at these events to be their keynote speakers. They've had George W. Bush. They've had Kurt Warner. They've had, I think, Tim Tebow was there not terribly long ago. It's just a really neat thing built on this notion of service, divine service. And Rich is going to be coming up here to not only talk about what service means to him or Wisconsin Lutheran College, but what it should mean to us. So we're looking forward to having him come up here in the program. One person who has built his life around service also is Tom Feldhusen. Tom Feldhusen, executive advisor, and Tom serves the business community. He's been serving me in the C-Suite for Christ ministry for a number of years. And prior to that, he served me in a role when I was the president of a large insurance organization. He's one of the best business coaches out there, full stop, end of sentence. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, come on, all business coaches are the same. No, no, they're not. Tom Feld, who's an executive advisor, is a cut above, not only because he's a very good business mind and he can coach you to be the best possible version of yourself, but every single business coach, every single advisor has their own niche. And Tom's is arguably the biggest pain point for just about every executive out there. Your people. Your people are ultimately going to decide whether or not you're successful in your professional endeavors. And there's a lot of questions you can ask yourself. Do I have the right people? Are they in the right seats on the bus? Am I meeting them where they're at? And if you can say yes, 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 congratulations, you're in rarefied air. Very few of us can. Tom Feld, who's an executive advisor, can help you if any of those answers are no. But even if the answer is yes, 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 then we face a fourth dilemma, which is basically this. How do I find more people like this? Where are these A-listers? Where are these team players? Where do I find them? Tom Feld, who's an executive advisor, can help. He's got a proprietary system that can not only help find them for you, but can make sure that they're a culture enhancer for your organization. So do yourself a favor. Just have an exploratory call with Tom Feldhusen to see if he's a fit. He can be reached at 262-305-2502 and tell him that Neuberger sent you. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Rich Ministo of Wisconsin Lutheran College. Do not go away. Need a trade show display? A lobby renovation? Heck, how about help with an event that you're hosting? Captivate Exhibits can do it all. Plus, they're an outspoken faith-based organization that puts Christ first in all that they do. Ready to captivate the attention of the masses? Then check them out today at CaptivateExhibits.com. That's CaptivateExhibits.com. Are you a faith-driven leader feeling bogged down with administrative tasks? Time is your most valuable asset, and you should be spending it using your God-given gifts. VA USA's team of U.S.-based virtual assistants are ready to serve. Schedule a free consultation today. Visit HireVAUSA.com. That's HireVAUSA.com. And welcome back, everybody. Getting pretty excited because we're just about 60 seconds or so away from our guest. But before we bring Dr. Rich on, hey, I just want to remind you, there's a lot of stuff going on in life today that maybe isn't where we want it to be. Maybe we feel like, ah, I'm not getting ahead to the degree that I want, or ah, I'm not getting the stuff that I want, the promotions, the money, the type of interpersonal relationships with other people. I mean, it's very easy to focus on what we don't have. It's very easy to focus on what's wrong in society today. It's very easy to have a victim mentality. God, aren't you listening? God, I don't feel your presence. But as Christians, we're not called to do that. As Christians, we're called to focus on our blessings. As Christians, we're called to focus on the things that God has given us, the things that God has provided us with. Even if it's just that simple roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the talents and abilities that God so generously bestowed upon you, it's up to us to focus on what he's done for us and then to communicate that with others. It's the nature of what we do here at C-Suite for Christ is all rooted in the Great Commission. It ain't the great suggestion. It's not the great recommendation. This is something that we don't have a choice in the matter. We need to tell others about Christ, and it's my prayer that you'll be empowered to share with others what Christ has done for you. And if you focus on your blessings and you focus on how God has never left your side, it's going to be a lot easier to do. So it's my prayer that you'll join us in wholeheartedly, boldly, unapologetically declaring to the world whose you are. One such person who's working tirelessly to declare to the world whose he is or whose he belongs to. That's a tongue twister. But either way, he's doing a lot of great stuff for Christ. It's Dr. Rich Ministo. He's the Vice President of Advancement at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and he joins us on the program right now. Dr. Rich, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate being on the show with you today.
Absolutely. It's a blessing to have you. And Rich, as you know, We're unpacking Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 today. Just real quick to remind the audience what that verse is. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So, Dr. Rich, to get us going here today, what does Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 mean to you specifically?
Well, what I love about that passage, and I've got a little, you know, we've all translations of the Bible. My version says servants, and that's what I love about it. You think slave, you think bondage, and we're slaves of the sin. But I like the servant mentality because we get to serve Christ because of what he did for us. And what Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 is really telling me is not only do I get to do that on this earth to help encourage my fellow man and woman along on their faith journey, but I really need to do this because I'm ultimately serving God. So everything I do, I want to do with excellence, and I want to do it to the best of my ability. And that's what really Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 means for me and the joy of my ministry here at Wisconsin Lutheran College.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things that you had said almost right from the onset is we get to serve Christ. Now, that's kind of a unique way of phrasing that, because I think there's a big difference between get to and have to. And I think a lot of people go through life with a have to mentality. I have to go to work. I have to go to the dentist. I got to have dinner with my family, as opposed to get to. So why did you use the words we get to serve Christ like it's a reward versus have to serve Christ like it's an expectation?
Well, we're given freely a grace of our salvation. So when you have that big of a present, just think on Christmas Day, man, you get this huge present. You are filled with gratitude. You get to use this present, and then you get to give thanks to the people who gave it to you. And that's really how we see our lives first, is we get to serve him and our fellow men and women on this planet because of the amazing thing he did by dying on the cross for us, that we have this freedom now where we're no longer slaves to sin. And that's just an opportunity for us to get up every morning and say, what do I get to do for Jesus? And it just changes our mindset just a little bit, adjusts us for the day and for the week.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And one of the things that I love about you personally, Dr. Rich, as well as the Wisconsin Lutheran College ministry, is you guys don't just talk the talk, you also walk the walk. And I think that mentality is very true with what you're doing as an organization. You get to serve our young people. You get to serve the future leaders of society. And I'm wondering, you know, you hear a lot of things about higher education. There's some unsavory things that are going on. You saw all this anti-Semitism following the Hamas terror attack in Israel not terribly long ago. Could you give us a bit of a state of the union for Wisconsin Lutheran College? I know you guys had record enrollment again. It just seems like you're doing a lot of good stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the high notes that are coming off of your campus these days?
Absolutely. Well, first, we're blessed by the Lord to have that record enrollment, not only this year, but four of the past 5 years, which is unheard of. We're one of the only private colleges in the state of Wisconsin that's grown four out of the last 5 years. And we see this in our 51st year. We're a young college that being courageously Christian is what's drawing people to our mission and our ministry here, because we're preparing Christian servant leaders to go out into the world that are equipped to benefit their communities, their homes, their churches, their businesses with the love of Christ and the ability to be a rock star worker, but one that gives their life for Christ and shows it and means it. Some of the other on campus are our wonderful Center for Christian Leadership, which has about 100 students in it. And this is the something they get to do because they want to become that stronger that serves Christ. And they go through a whole extra set of volunteer opportunities and training and such to just have that extra edge above other candidates going out into the world. We have a booming health sciences area. And if there's a sector of our economy that could use not only dedicated and quality individuals that we produce, but Christians at the heart, ones that care at your bedside, ones that care about your family, ones that bring Christ into the solution so that you know you're working with a Christian young adult coming into your patient room or exam room or such, we think is one of the coolest things we can be doing right now that no one ever saw coming 51 years ago when we started as a two-year liberal arts college. So we couldn't be more thankful for the way God has blessed us, but also in the way in which that we are get to champion as a Christian college to be the leader in the state.
Yeah, and I think one of the lessons for society out there, and this is part of the reason why people say, you know, you can't mix Christ in the workplace. You can't talk about Christ in the community. And the reason people say that is, well, you're going to offend somebody and they're not going to want to do business with you. They're not going to want to go to school at your campus. I think what you guys are doing at Wisconsin Lutheran College is you're showing it's just the opposite. People want to go to an unapologetically Christian organization. People want to do business with an unapologetically Christian organization like yours. And I think you guys are a living embodiment of what you said earlier, courageously Christian. I love that because that's what we try to be about at the C-Suite for Christ Ministry. So Rich, if you could define it, what does courageously Christian mean to you specifically?
Sure. Well, I think it's being who you are. It's all about the moment you're in. And obviously, in different settings, my Christianity is going to come ways. You know, speaking to my brother Paul, we can talk about prayer and scripture, and you get where I'm coming from. I get that too. But maybe in some other venues, I use a different approach, but my Christian spirit still comes through. But I want to meet people where they're at. So when we're courageously Christian, it's not always about, sometimes we think courageous, our mascot is a warrior, that we're not going to go out with swords and bells and say, hey, we're going to turn you into a Christian or else. That's not our style. What we go out is infusing, we bring the love of Christ, meet people where they're at. And you can be courageous about that. You don't need to hide that you're a Christian. I'm not going to hide the pin I wear on my lapel that has Christian symbols on it. I'll hide the fact that I'm not going to say where I work. And I'm going to say, can I pray for you? When maybe I don't know if that person is a Christian or not. And they could be of any faith walk. So I think it's being open and honest about your Christian faith. But I think it's being not afraid to be able to show it where it's appropriate. And you know what? Not everybody's going to like you for it. And you have to be okay with that. Christ had a path to walk that was not a bed of roses either. And I think we have to remember that it's going to be trouble along this path of life, but keep our head up because we are saved Christians and going to heaven is a reason to be doing everything we're doing.
I would agree. Yeah. And again, I know I'm painting with a broad brush and I know we as Christians, not every single day is roses, sunshine, and unicorns. But boy, when you think about eternal salvation, when you think of the fact that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could earn the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. Why, the worries of this world just don't seem all that important when you look at things in the grand scheme like that, Rich. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things that we do a lot of here at C-Suite for Christ is we do a lot of events. Not terribly long ago, we had our annual Covering the World in Christ celebration. We had Tim Tebow and Matt Maher come in, nearly 1,500 people. So it was a really spectacular event. But speaking about spectacular events, I don't mind saying this. One of my favorite events on the calendar year is your event, Rich, which is the Divine Servant Award festivities at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Could you tell us a little bit more about what kind of went into creating that event? What do you hope to achieve through that? And of course, if individuals are interested, where do they go to buy tickets? All that sort of good stuff.
Sure. Our signature event is our Divine Servant Award celebration. We hold it every spring or early summer, and this is going to be our seventh one. We incubated this about 8 years ago because, you know, nobody could meet during COVID, so the nut out of whack, unfortunately. But we incubated this event because we wanted to honor and showcase an individual that would have been just courageously Christian out in the world that maybe other Christians could be inspired by, could be encouraged by, want to meet this individual. So we did an event that's a little bit different. It's purely fundraising. It raises millions of dollars of scholarships so that we can keep WLC affordable for more Christian servant leaders to attend. But it's a dinner. This year it's going to be at Discovery World. It's a beautiful location. There's opportunity to have a photo op and meet the artist that we're featuring this year, and that's going to be Stephen Curtis Chapman, a Grammy winner, has 50 number one albums out there, has I think 60 Dove Awards. I mean, just a magnificent Christian artist. But he's going to do an interview after dinner with Dr. Dan Johnson, our president. And interspersed in there, he's going to do some acoustic songs as well. So it's going to kind of be half concert, half interview, just learning about Stephen Curtis Chapman's life. And that's going to take place Friday, May 31st, down at Discovery World. And you can get more information and tickets by going to www.wlc.edu/DSA. So we invite everybody to come check that out. The funds raised from it, 100%, are going to student scholarships, but it's a grand evening. We've featured former President George W. Bush, Tony Dungy, David Green of Hobby Lobby, Kathy Lee Gifford, and last year we featured, 2 years ago, Kurt and Brenda Warner, a couple we did. All of these individuals are strong Christians, shared how they are going through life, giving some tips along the way, and it's just an inspirational evening to raise up your Christian attitude 100%.
Yeah, those are some pretty big names, and it's wonderful that you do this. It's wonderful that you recognize these individuals for the contributions that they're making for the Christian community. And at the end of the day, it's just an overall great night. I know C-Suite for Christ is going to have some strong representation there. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And I would encourage our listeners today to go to that website and learn a little bit more, because it is a fantastic event, to say the least. Rich, one of the questions that I had, too, for you is going back to this courageously Christian theme. What we got to be careful of with respect to Christianity is a lot of this stuff can go into the easier said than done category. Like it says in Scripture, fear not 365 times, which is not a coincidence, I would say, when you have one fear not for every day of the calendar year. But, you know, again, fear not. Okay, right. I'm just going to snap my fingers and the fear is going to go away. So one of the things I like is I like to intersperse some real stories, some things that people have gone through so that we can kind of learn from that. And, you know, you've seen a lot. You've done a lot. Could you give us an example in your life where you found yourself needing to be courageously Christian? Maybe it was something that happened in your personal life. Maybe it was something that happened at the workplace. But again, I know you've been through a lot over the course of your personal and professional career here. So could you share with us a story maybe where you encountered a situation that required you to be courageous for Christ?
Sure. You know, I'm blessed right now because I'm working at a Christian institution. But as many of our listeners and you know this too, Paul, that we don't always get to work at a Christian institution. So I remember fondly, probably over a decade ago, when I was working for a nonprofit, and some of my colleagues were a little concerned. Like, you know, you want to pray for us all the time, and you know, we're not a Christian organization. You know, maybe there's Christians that work here, but I don't know if you should be doing that. And that was kind of my stand-up moment to say, oh, okay, sorry, I offended you. But I was bold at that moment, empowered by the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? We do have some Christians here. And as long as we do, there's nothing that says we can't pray in our Constitution. And I apologize if that offends you, but I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to ask if I can pray for you. And if you ask me not to pray for you, I may do it privately. But I'm not going to stop asking. I'm not going to stop saying blessings to you, because I truly believe that. And we can agree to disagree, but we're not going to stop. So, you know, there was never any more talk of that. But I think it was kind of one of those defining moments where you kind of put your line in the sand, and I could have just shrugged back. But and it was a little scary, because are they going to go talk to the boss? You know, am I going to get hauled in? Am I going to get sued? I mean, I think those are all questions that we have to go through our mind and wrestle with as Christians. So that was one moment. I'm sure there's others, but that one kind of just struck me.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate you sharing that. And again, nobody's perfect. We're all going to have those moments where we say, ah, maybe I should have taken advantage of that opportunity, or, ah, man, maybe I could have been more bold for Christ and I wasn't. So there are going to be times, obviously, where we fail to live up to our own expectations. But could you imagine if more often than not we did what Rich just did in a loving, polite way, where we're not imposing our will on anybody, but we're also not apologizing? Why should we apologize as Christians? I can I pray for you? Somebody gets mad, whatever. I mean, it's not, I can't control how other people are going to react. And I think far too often we shrink back, far too often we take those posts down, far too often we say, whoa, this didn't go well, I'm never bringing this up again. And secular society runs ramrod all over us. So, no, I think that's a really good story. I think if we're all drawing those lines in the sand more often than not, I think we're going to slowly but surely cover this world in Christ. Rich, the last question I have for you, because boy, howdy, our time together just goes really fast like it always does. We talked about a lot of different things here today, talking about being a servant and Christian education and us being bold and unapologetic for Christ. If one of our listeners today is really inspired by your outlook on life and says, you know what, I too want to be a better servant of Christ, I too want to be more courageously Christian in my own life, could you give us maybe two or three things that we could start to do right away to be a better servant? Maybe two or three things we could do right away to be more courageously Christian? What advice would you give?
Yeah, I think there's two key things. One is you got to be in the Word. I think that a lot of my inspiration comes from, oh man, just read, you know, a Bible story, or that passage of scripture spoke to me, or, you know, the Holy Spirit works through the reading the Word and builds us up and encourages us. I think that's number one. And you just find new insights. Even though you read the Bible many, many times in your life, you're going, oh, I never thought of that passage that way, or I needed that today because I haven't had this situation before. And then number two, God never designed us to go through life alone. That, and it doesn't mean you need to be married. It doesn't mean you need to have kids or a big family, but I think you need to have other Christians. So whatever that group of Christians means, it could be something as simple as going, you know, once a month to C-suite, you know, it could be a church faith gathering, or it could just be other friends that are like you. I think spending time with other Christians, that is how God works in us together to build each other up, because then you don't feel like you're battling this all alone. So Word, do it together.
I think that's some really great advice. And the last piece of advice that I would have for our listeners here, if you're anything like me, you're listening to Dr. Rich talk and it just fills you with hope to see an institution like Wisconsin Lutheran College boldly and unapologetically keeping Christ at the center and preparing our young people, not just for lives of productivity and being wonderful professionals, but being unapologetic Christians. And organizations like this need our help. So, Rich, in our closing sentiments here, if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about how to donate to Wisconsin Lutheran College, or maybe take a tour to see if this would be a good educational institution to send to, you know, to send their high school age student to, perhaps, where should they go to learn more information about how to get involved and support your worthwhile mission?
Well, probably the easiest is our website. It's wlc.edu. And you can find information. You can find how to reach me on there. And our admissions information is there. And I would say reach out anytime. We're happy to give you a tour. Whether you have a college age kid or not, or you just want to learn more about, hey, what goes on there? Happy to buy you lunch and take you around the amazing students that are coming to school here to go out and change the world for Christ.
Well, that's outstanding stuff. And again, as always, Dr. Rich, you exceeded my already lofty expectations. So we've been talking to Dr. Rich Manisto, Vice President of Advancement at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Thank you for your time today, brother, and really appreciate your insights.
Thanks, Paul. It's been great fun.
Absolutely. Don't go away, gang. We're going to be back with some closing remarks in just a couple seconds. Stay with us. Well, as we get ready to say goodbye here in another episode of the C-Suite for Christ podcast, boy, howdy, just want to thank Dr. Reach Manisto, VP of Advancement at Wisconsin Lutheran College, for being on the program. Dr. Rich is all about service. He's been doing that personally. He's been doing that professionally his entire career. But as the Vice President for Advancement, he's also serving the students at Wisconsin Lutheran College, serving the alumni, serving the faculty and staff, and he's doing a truly amazing job. And also, don't forget to buy your tickets for the upcoming event, the Divine Servant Award at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And who knows, maybe I'll see you there. So real quick, what do we talk about? We talked about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Remember, you do not serve earthly masters. Remember, you do not work for earthly bosses. We ultimately serve Jesus Christ. We have to keep that in mind, because when you serve an earthly boss you don't like, when you serve an earthly boss that doesn't appreciate you, we can respond in less than desirable ways. Maybe we check out. Maybe we cut corners. Maybe we don't give our best efforts. Maybe we push back and fight fire with fire. All of those are terrible decisions. Because remember, our prize is not a trophy. Our prize is not a wreath around our neck. Our prize is eternal life in heaven. And what we do in this world echoes in eternity. And if you think you're going to stick it to your boss and not be punished, if you think you're going to live a life half-assed, not doing all the things that you should be with your talents and abilities, that's not going to bode well at the end of the day. Remember, you serve God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And whatever you do, do it with glory, honor, and praise in your mind. If you want to join us for some additional glory, honor, and praise, it would be an absolute blessing to have you become an official member of the C-Suite for Christ ministry. To learn more, to start the application process, to learn all the benefits of becoming a dues-paying member, go to our website, csuiteforchrist.com. I'm Paul M. Neuberger, the founder of C-Suite for Christ, and we'll see you back here next time.
Thank you for joining us on the C-Suite for Christ podcast. People everywhere are thirsting for Christ. Our goal is to cover the world in Christ using hope, encouragement, and God's nourishing words. We hope you'll join us. Please visit csuiteforchrist.com and come back soon for more conversations centered around God's endless love for us all.
I saw you in my dreams before I came here. I will keep you in my dreams when I leave here. I won't forget you, no, no. I won't forget you. You're like one of a kind, and my eyes light up when I think about you. I won't forget you. Life goes on.